on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Afghanistan, Pakistan, August of 2021. What happened? Breaking news from the Wall Street Journal in these last hours. Gordon Lubold reporting. Washington. The Pentagon leadership is reviewing an assessment of the military's role in the Afghanistan conflict, but hasn't decided if aspects of the highly classified document will be released. The draft report, it goes on to say, which was submitted to top Pentagon officials earlier this month, is one of a series of assessments known as after-action reports that each agency is conducting to assemble a record of the American role in Afghanistan. So far, says the Wall Street Journal, none of the reports has been released. I welcome Bill Rajow, the senior fellow of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, keeping the Long War Journal with his colleagues, and Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador of Pakistan to the United States, now the director of South and Central Asia program at the Hudson Institute. Gentlemen, a very good day to you. What happened? We still need to know. Bill, we've observed this general fact that we're waiting for these after-action reports from State, from Treasury, from AID, from, I could go on, certainly the DOD and the CIA. All of that had a hand in the conflict and had a hand in the collapse last August. So this news that they haven't decided to release it, what is holding them back, Bill? What can we imagine is in this report that we've not already examined as we saw the U.S. lift off from Kabul Airport? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, why they're holding this back, I suspect it's for political reasons. It's no secret that Afghanistan policy was a failure and has been for at least a decade, if not more, probably the last 15 years plus. The military plan, and this is the Wall Street Journal here is talking about a Department of Defense assessment of the military's role. The military had a major part of the failure, boosting the surge up as being the solution, then getting on with negotiations with the Taliban, focusing on the Islamic State while treating the Taliban at times like it was a partner against the Islamic State, the absolute mess of the withdrawal. This is all going to make, including the current chairman, Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, and of past and current military leaders and Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, they're all going to come out really bad. And there's no way that this report isn't going to have to take swipes at both political and leadership as well as at the state. I suspect this review is being held up for political reasons. The Biden administration has enough bad news to deal with right now. And the last thing it wants is the anniversary of Afghanistan is coming up. And the last thing it wants is to add fuel to that fire. We all know why the failures occurred. This is what's funny about this. And the reason that why would this be classified at this point? There's there's no U.S. troops in Afghanistan. The Taliban controls the country. There's nothing that needs to be classified in this report. It's like the bin Laden documents after we seized them. Once we seized those documents, Al-Qaeda knew what we had because they were aware it was at bin Laden's compound. The Taliban knows what we have. Nothing that we have that is going on in this assessment needs to be classified. The U.S. government hides behind classification to save themselves embarrassment.
Mr. Ambassador, a very good day to you. Thank you for this. Your observation, could these after-action reports, could these contribute to clarity about Pakistan's participation in the 20 years of the Afghanistan conflict? And is Pakistan in need of closure? Would that help the new government in Islamabad?
I don't know what will or will not help the new government in Islamabad. Its problems are economic, and clarity is not really the issue for them right now. But the fact remains that there is a joke among British bureaucrats that classification is not a system to protect secrets. It's a system to protect bureaucrats. Basically, people who made wrong decisions would be embarrassed. And I agree with Bill that there is a political reason for this. Of course, the role of Pakistan, as well as the mistakes the U.S. made in relation to dealing with Pakistan, are a big part of it. But another part of it is thinking that Afghanistan is an easy place for us because of our superior might, that we can just throw money at the problem, and not understanding a lot of things about the country and what was really going on was the real problem. And as Bill said, most of us have been talking about it, but I think that there is a desire not to let it become a headline. And so if a report comes out, then obviously it will be a headline. Everybody will be discussing it on every television channel. Right now, it's just you and us and maybe an occasional piece in some newspaper or the other. Otherwise, Afghanistan is out of the headlines. And I think that the Biden administration wants to keep it that way.
I want to mention that there was, during the war, a fluidity between Afghanistan and Pakistan, especially the Northwest provinces. And the question here about the collapse of the Afghanistan government and economy, how does it affect the parts of Pakistan that touch upon the Afghanistan people? I note this in the Wall Street Journal from another report. Afghanistan's gross domestic product is expected to decline by around 34% by the end of 2022 compared to 2020. Now running inflation at 15.5% in April, and the banking system barely functions. Does that affect your country? Does that affect the Northwest provinces? Does that affect Islamabad?
Absolutely. Look, we must understand that a large part of what is today Pakistan was once part of Afghanistan. The British took it from the Afghans after their many wars with Afghanistan in the 19th century. In 1893, what is today the border between Pakistan and Afghanistan was drawn by a British official called Sir Mortimer Durand. That's why it's called the Durand Line. The line didn't have anything to do with ethnicities, history, etc. It was an arbitrary line. So what it did was it divided tribes. Certain tribes actually overlapped the border. There's a large number of people who speak Pashto, which is the language of Afghanistan, in Pakistan as well. And they were not very keen on the idea of joining Pakistan in 1947 when the British left and Pakistan was created. So Pakistan has always wanted to make sure that these people would look towards Islamabad rather than continue to think that their future belongs in Afghanistan. That overlap is the reason why this border has always been porous, even after Pakistan has fenced the border in recent years. There's a lot of movement across the borders because people say, we are the same tribe, we are the family, my uncle lives there, my brother lives there, I'm going across. That also has helped terrorism because terrorists can move and flow across these two borders. That was one of the problems in the war in Afghanistan because the Americans decided they are not going to violate the Pakistani border. And so people always got safe haven in Pakistan after attacking Americans in Afghanistan. So anything that happens in Afghanistan affects what are known as the Pashtun areas of Pakistan, the northwest, as well as parts of Balochistan. People will come across. If they need food, they will try and get it from Pakistan. A lot of business takes place between the two sides without any record being kept of it. And so the fact that Afghanistan's economy has totally deteriorated to a point where it is a much smaller fraction of what it used to be will affect the Pashtun areas of Pakistan as well.
Bill, the Wall Street Journal also reporting from the UN, separate piece besides this classified part. The UN says 90% of the Afghan population isn't eating sufficiently. Half of the population is facing acute hunger. Families have resorted to selling their children or their organs to survive. The worst drought in decades has compounded the crisis. A quote from the International Rescue Committee, the current humanitarian crisis could kill far more Afghans than the past 20 years of war. Here's the paradox, Bill. The U.S. is a major contributor. I read 770 million, maybe that number's off, to Afghanistan in some fashion. The U.S. is freezing the $9 billion in the Afghan Central Bank. The question then is, you have an article up at Long War Journal saying the State Department is discouraging voices and actions against the Taliban government. This is a paradox, Bill. Can you help me understand it? Are we helping people who are starving, or are we forbidding people who oppose the reason they're starving, which is the Taliban?
It's complicated because this administration really hasn't outlined its policy on Afghanistan. What the State Department is telling us, they're saying, and this is a quote, it does not support organized violent opposition to the Taliban. That would be resistant groups like the National Resistance Front. There's another group called the Afghanistan Freedom Front, and they're fighting the Taliban right now. It's at a very low level guerrilla operation in several provinces in central and northern Afghanistan. So we don't want to support that. We have froze that money in the banks, yet we're trying to figure out ways to get aid to the Taliban, and yet there's members of the Taliban government are still effectively designated global terrorists. This administration really needs to tell us how what its plans to do, and that its policy is absolutely incoherent. And until we get some, but the, again, this administration is completely dodging Afghanistan. Hussein Haqqani is absolutely correct that it wants to keep the Afghanistan out of the headlines because Afghanistan was an abject failure for this administration. And the longer it stays out of the headlines, the better it is for the Biden administration.
And the famine and the drought and the report most recently that women who are, say, school teachers or working in hospitals or jobs are being fired, kicked out of their job, told to bring relatives. That does not touch State Department's expression of opposition to the Taliban. All correct, Bill? They don't care?
All correct, yes. Yeah. State is acting like Afghanistan, like that the Taliban are the solution here. Here's another quote from there. They say they want all sides to exercise restraint and to engage. Well, guess what? That's how we lost Afghanistan. We engaged the Taliban and state us, and which I assume is government policy, is telling these groups to lay down your arms and negotiate with the Taliban. It didn't work out well, you know, 2 years ago, last year, and it isn't going to work out well for them this year. And then yet we're shocked because the Taliban doesn't care about women's rights. They don't care about feeding their people. They care about running their Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan and imposing its harsh version of Sharia law. That's all they care about. And once you understand that, you'll understand. But the state still doesn't believe that they think the Taliban wants to care for the people. It wants international legitimacy. It doesn't. Taliban wants to control Afghanistan.
Bill Rajo, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, Hussein Haqqani, the Hudson Institute. When we come back, there's been an election in Pakistan. Topsy-turvy. I'm John Batchelor.